pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Happy Hanukkah to all. How you doing, Al?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm feeling a little bit better, just a tad under the weather, but I'm okay. Doing good. Doing good. Thanks.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. How you be? Good?
I am good. No COVID in my present or future.
Fantastic.
That's good.
No masks either, I take it.
No masks, but I do have a colonoscopy coming up, which is quite exciting for nobody, especially me, but it's good to do those every 10 years. So if it's not on your calendar and you're 50 or 60 years old, go get one because your family and friends will love you for doing it.
It's a pain in the butt, but you got to do it, man.
You got to do it.
Yeah, the best
to do it. Yes.
My doctor told me it was the best 45-minute sleep you'll ever have.
And he is 100% right. But getting there is an ordeal. This year they have pills instead of having to drink a gallon of nasty fluid in order to clean yourself out. But now they do it with pills, so...
Huh,
see how that
really?
Works.
Yeah. Whoa.
See how that flows.
Yeah. Holy crap. Wow.
So what else is new? What's new with you?
Nothing much. Just working hard there and, just getting ready for the Christmas season, or we're into Christmas season, get ready for Christmas, and want to wish all of our Jewish family and friends out there a happy Hanukkah, a blessed Hanukkah. May God bless you and your families. From all of us here at Global Patriot Radio. So,
yes.
And this year more than ever.
And for our Mexican listeners, tomorrow is the Virgin of Guadalupe Day. So we wish, we don't want to forget about you. So enjoy the Virgin of Guadalupe Day, whatever you do on that day, but have fun.
All right. Well, over the weekend, the PGA and the LPGA had a combined tournament. It was the Grant Thornton Invitational. It was played in Naples, Florida. Great weather down there, it looked like on TV. It looks like many were in just kind of golf shorts, but it's a it's a man and a woman, LPGA and a PGA player. And they play like a Ryder Solheim Cup format. The first day, the teams of Tony Finau and Nelly Korda were on fire, man. They lit it up. They did great in that opening format. But the next day, Saturday, two individuals, LPGA player phenom Lydia Ko and PGA player Jason Day, both from down under, took the lead, and they never looked back. They were tied with the Canadians, Corey Connors and Brooke Henderson on Sunday, but they made some key birdies and key pars to beat the team of Corey Connors and Brooke Henderson by one shot. They shot Lydia Ko and Jason Day shot 26 under par. They just played really well, great consistent golf, and came out on top for the $1 million prize fund. So congratulations to Lydia Ko and Jason Day winning the Grant Thornton Invitational. And it looks like Tony
Finau. Yeah, it was an exciting tournament. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. The ladies they're unbelievable, and they're just great putters. Watching some of those putters. And the one that really surprised me was Lexi Thompson. Whatever she's done for the LPGA player, she has really done a good job of putting, and her game is coming around, so good for her. And Golf Dogs just put in a chat room, Tony Finau is going to LIV. Adios. Goodbye. You know, his
Tony
wife
Finau?
Yeah, apparently I heard rumors as well, because with John Rahm defecting, he was taking a couple of players with him to form a team. I guess they have some sort of a team format. And so I guess Tyrrell Hatton, the journeyman from the UK, and I guess Tony Finau, I guess he wasn't making enough money winning the FedEx Cup. And so, but his wife, I'm sure, you know, she seems like she's a little bit of a financial snob. But so he's going. And don't know who the fourth person will be, because apparently the teams are four-man teams, I think. I'm not sure. But anyways, goodbye. Who cares?
Hopefully the PGA – with the PGA opening up shop and LIV players now allowed to play in the majors, it'll definitely make golf more exciting, because we'll have full field of full talent for the majors, and that's good.
Well, they have been. They have been eligible for the majors. That was never a stumbling block. So they get the best of both worlds.
I thought the PGA said no.
There's not
a time now they opened it up.
Oh, they opened it up, and
because
it's
they
and like no.
Yeah.
They couldn't play. They can't play in the weekly tournaments because they're playing for a competitive league. The majors are run by different organizations, so the majors are allowed. The Masters gets a say. The British Open gets a say.
Right.
The USGA gets a say, as well as the PGA of America gets a say. Right. So they
the
it was always open.
Said no. Well, the,
no,
PGA,
the PGA
said no.
Tour.
The USGA said yes. The tour.
The PGA,
yeah, whatever.
Well, the PGA Tour said no, because they had players playing for a competing tour, which the Saudi LIV League is a competing tour. But they could play in the majors. Well, they've always been able to play in the majors. So I just don't find
it
doesn't
PGA
really
tour.
Matter. That's correct.
It's, right, but now they can. So for us, the viewers and the fans, this is good, because now we'll have full talent fields playing or eligible to play in all the majors. So that'll be good. Good for golf.
Well, we have a full talent field now. So it's a great talent field. Who wants to watch guys that are
for everybody?
Well, it always has been in the majors. It's
whatever.
Always been.
So, not really, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It has. They have to qualify based on world ranking points. And if they don't have the world rankings, they don't get to play. So it's true with any,
right.
even
so
before.
So the PGA Tour said no. They said you're not playing in the PGA Tour majors.
No, there are no PGA Tour majors. There are majors.
Okay.
There are no PGA Tour majors. PGA Tour doesn't run the majors. Okay. So just to clarify, the PGA Tour does not run the majors. The British Open, the British run the RNA runs the British Open. The USGA runs the US Open. The PGA of America runs the PGA. And the Masters runs, the Augusta runs Masters. So those four entities have a say in who plays in the majors. And they opened it up to everybody. And the way you qualify for the Masters is you have to be in the top 50 in the world rankings. And if you drop outside that, then it's an invite. But they have enough of a list that it doesn't mean that everybody, irrespective of where they play, gets in.
Right.
So,
but on December 8th, the PGA Tour merged with LIV and PIF. So,
well, no, there's a separate entity there. That's a separate entity.
Well,
they didn't
merge. Whatever you want to call it, I get all confused with PGA League, P, PGA Company 1, PGA Company 2, PGA. All I know is the PGA has merged with the Saudi-backed LIV, and now it's like an open shop again. So that's all. That's how I see it, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's not a merger
yet. Others
may
see it different.
Yeah. It's not a merger yet.
You hate the LIV. You hate
yeah,
the LIV.
I do hate the Saudi LIV, but I'm just telling you, it's not a merger yet, okay? So they still are operating as separate entities. That's the misnomer on the whole thing. I mean, I don't like the Saudi league at all. I don't like the Saudi-funded league. I reject anything that the Saudis have done. So, but in all fairness, they have not merged yet. They haven't come up with a coordinated plan of merging all three entities, the DP Tour, the PGA, and the Saudi LIV.
Yeah, but the Rahm and Finau move is not good for the PGA.
Why?
I wonder how, because they're two top players going to LIV. Now, granted, I hate the LIV's format. These three-day tournaments if the LIV conformed with the standard four-day tournaments, and then they would be eligible for points, I think that would be good. Get rid of the shorts, wear pants, and stop with the music, because the music there is horrible. It's like that European techno crap. I don't like that. Not a big fan of that either. But hell, when they offered Rahm 6 times lifetime earnings of, let's see, his lifetime earnings today were around $50 million, and they offered him $300 million. That's just stupid, crazy bunny. You got to admit.
Yeah, man, the Saudi, Islam invaded Spain in 912 when they conquered Cordoba. And now they're conquering Spain once again, one Spaniard at a time. Sergio, Lothable, and Lazarthable, and now Rahm. So, yeah, you know.
See, I look at it as they are raping the Saudis and taking all the money that they'll give them. So I see it. I see the flip side. I see them raping the Saudis. Kind of like when Japan was buying up everything in America. And then all of a sudden, the whole market crashed on them, and they lost a boatload of money, the Nips. And that was payback for World War II. So I think there might be some of that in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. But, yeah, it's going to. Well, hey, in political correctness, run amok is backfiring. Did you see this story that the Washington Commanders are being sued by the Native American Guardians Association, which has been trying to get the Commanders to change the name back to, wait a minute, the Washington Redskins? The lawsuit states the logo on the Redskins' helmet is an actual person. It's Chief Whitecalf. Every time they go out on the field, they are honoring Chief Whitecalf, and they are battling on the football field with the same honor and integrity and courage. That should continue to honor that. Boy. You know, talk about the cancel culture and the woke NFL backfiring with their dumb political knee-jerk reactions, politically correct knee-jerk reactions. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to watch how these organizations like the NFL and MLB, they all adopt this politically correct nonsense without even thinking about it. And they believe this small minority of Marxists who want to rewrite history. And here's a great example now of the agita that the Washington Redskins ownership was put through, so much so that I think Daniel Snyder ended up having to sell the Washington Redskins, and they changed the name to the Commanders. And it turns out that the Redskins, it isn't an issue of it being savages. It's an issue of honoring Chief Whitecalf. So does the woke NFL now, do they side with the experts, the the actual Native Americans and the Native American Guardian Association to correct their error, apologize, and then change the name back to the Washington Redskins. So as Boyd said, we can now on Thanksgiving, we can have the Cowboys versus the Redskins instead of the Commandos, who we don't think are probably not wearing underwear. I guess that's what it would imply, right? Because they have no balls. Is that what the Washington Commandos now? I mean, it's just insane. It's insane. You know, it's just like go ahead.
What I was going to say, the Indian lovers are seeking $1.6 million in damages and a seat at the table to share Native American history with the unwoke, woke Marxists who have offended the Native Americans. And I think they do need a little bit of sensitivity training. And I think you're the one to teach it, Vito Esposito.
Well, you know, I want to know where were these Indians, you know, demanding to be sitting down at the table when the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins lost their team name? Where were they?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I mean, this is absolutely the dumbest thing that we're watching in the United States.
Well, it means that the offended classes are not as offended as the very sensitive white Anglo-Saxon Protestant arrogant people who hate the people they're trying to save, and now the people they're trying to save have to sue them to say, "Hey, we're not as offended as you are." It's such irony.
Yeah, their shirt sales, their paraphernalia, their equipment sales are down, you know, to 0% now. Their kickbacks are gone. It's like, wait a minute, we're not offended, you know. You know, what about Chief Whitecalf, man? You guys have offended our chief. I mean, you know, and seriously, this is as dumb as the New York Yankees stopping the Kate Smith rendition of God Bless America, who was a huge Yankee fan, and as dumb as the Philadelphia Flyers removing Kate Smith's statue from in front of the Coliseum, and she was a huge Philadelphia Flyers fan. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this whole entire woke culture, really, they want to rewrite history. And it's truly amazing what we're witnessing. And, you know, I hope the New York Yankees never win another championship under the Steinbrenner sons for having the audacity to remove Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America, which served that team well. And the fans loved it. It was a dumb move. It was it was as dumb as the NFL removing the Redskins from the team logo. So that's just fucking stupid.
And the Atlanta Braves proudly kept Chief Nakahoma. They didn't cave into pressure. And the Florida State Seminoles, they kept the Seminoles because the Seminoles are happy to be associated with the Florida State football team.
Yes. Was it Chief Osceola?
They derive
right?
a lot of income. Yes, Chief Osceola, on his horse, planting a spear every game at the 50-yard line, dressed up like an Indian when it's really a white pike. Some
well, boy,
kid dressed up with a not blackface but tan face.
Well, Boyd said it right. He says you can't take over a country without taking their history away. And great statement, Boyd. Thank you.
So this is the red line. This is it. This is the stop. Let's make a U-turn, America, and go back to common sense. This
exactly.
is it.
Absolutely. I'm stupid. Just absolutely dumb.
Well, at least the Minnesota Vikings are safe. So Holger can rest easy.
So this from the Conservative Treehouse. Last week, Representative Elise Stefanik of New York pressed the presidents of University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, and MIT about rising anti-Semitism on college campuses and whether the speech calling for intifada or the elimination of the Jewish people violates their school's code of conduct. The alarming responses are now leading to severe blowbacks on the presidents. Calling for genocide of Jews violate Penn's rule of code of conduct? Representative Stefanik asked. It is a context-dependent decision, replied the University of Penn's Elizabeth McGill. If the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment. Stefanik was stunned. Conduct meaning committee for the act of genocide? An incredulous Stefanik asked. The speech is not harassment. That is unacceptable. Well, it became a little bit more unacceptable to a donor of the University of Pennsylvania who had stated he was going to withdraw a $100 million endowment to the University of Pennsylvania if President Liz McGill did not resign or be fired. So on Saturday, Liz McGill, president of the University of Pennsylvania, voluntarily stepped down from her role after facing intense blowback following a House Education Committee hearing this week. McGill has agreed to stay in her role until an interim president is selected, according to Penn trustee Scott Bach. Isn't it amazing? The woke school, the woke colleges and universities, they exposed themselves as the hypocrites and the Marxists that they truly are. They're not engaged in free speech. They are partisan, and in this case, for the University of Pennsylvania, for MIT, and for Harvard, they appear to be a little anti-Semitic, don't they, Al?
Yes, they do. And thank you for pointing this egregiousness out.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable that. But you know what? It's not shocking because these elitists now, they have been able to dupe the American people. We conservatives have stated that there's something wrong inside all across America. And conservatives are being silenced. They're being shunned. They're being terminated. And, you know, if you want to ask Ben Stein or Ben Shapiro or Ann Coulter, you know, just to name a few, who have been ostracized from these, well, let's say, from these Ivy League schools, for one, like Harvard, like Cornell, like Stanford, like Berkeley, and the University of Penn, when they come in, they the conservative speakers, face a backlash. And some don't even get a chance to speak to the students, where free speech and the free flow of ideas and opinions should be allowed. But if your opinion doesn't jive with that school's left-wing ideology, then you're not welcomed on these college campuses around the United States. And I guess the University of Pennsylvania president, as well as the MIT and the Harvard president, thought they could take that bias into a congressional meeting and then try to spin it and double talk their way out of answering questions. And they showed their true colors, didn't they?
Well, it's even worse because Liz McGill, the president, Professor McGill, even though she said she's stepping down, she's not really going anywhere. She's still going to remain a member of the law school faculty, according to a letter from the chairman, Scott L. Bach, on Saturday afternoon. After sending that letter, Bach announced he tendered his own resignation effective immediately. So on his way out, he kept McGill employed by the university this time. So they're not offended by what they said. They don't think what they said was wrong, that calling for the genocide, the death of Jews is okay. So this is a cover-up, but what really made this thing move was the donors. $100 million donor said he's not going to give to Harvard. He's pulling his money back. And then things started happening.
Yes.
Bunch of hypocrites.
Yep. Yep. So the money talks, and it doesn't matter what the president – you know, what a dumb answer, really, seriously. I mean, you know, these intellects think that they could get an end around. And, you know, well, we're really free thinkers, you know. It is a context-dependent decision. Really? What is that? I mean, a context-dependent decision. It's a yes or a no question, you know. I mean, calling genocide that Jews violate Penn's rule of code of conduct. The answer would be yes.
But if they start murdering Jews, then we'll tell them to stop, and then everything will be okay.
There you go. Yes. And if they did it with a gun, we must outlaw guns. You know, the Second Amendment has to go. But then show that empathy after it happens because you just couldn't be honest. Go ahead.
See, but in my thinking, I've got no problem. I mean, I don't agree with this at all, but I believe that they have the right, people who think this way have the right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, that at these universities, when conservative speakers come in to speak and they're invited in to speak, their speaking engagements, they get so harassed that they can't come in. The same leadership at the university is like Liz McGill. She will allow groups like Antifa and BLM and other Marxist groups to shut down conservative speakers. They can't come there without violence breaking out, and they can't speak freely. Because when Liz McGill says what she says about the genocide of Jews, she has the right to say it, but on the other hand, more robust free speech coming out and saying why she's wrong and may the best argument win. So the answer for bad free speech is more free speech, and that includes in this, but it's not a fair level playing field. And they need to get taken out to make this a fair level playing field, where if they let conservatives in, like I said earlier, I would think that this is wrong and I would come to their defense. But they hate conservatives. Free speech is great unless you're a conservative. And now, unless you're a conservative and a Jew, and God forbid if you're a conservative Jew, not that there's many of them around, but who would want to do that? I guess the conversions to Christianity are going to start going up because everybody's going to pull out their Jew card. They'll go, man, it's too tough being a Jew. I'm going to become a Christian.
I guess, right? I mean, I guess it would play.
Well, yeah, you know? Between Hamas wanting to kill Jews and now McGill saying, Liz McGill, president of an Ivy League school, saying, hey, you can kill Jews, but you got to keep it in context. Yeah, I would be a little nervous.
Yeah,
inviting her to a dinner party.
And it's okay for, you know, for these colleges and universities to censor, you know, conservative speakers. And Ben Shapiro is one of them that knows firsthand how he's been censored, you know, for being a conservative. Cal State University, Shapiro was not allowed to speak. He was disinvited. You know, so the intolerance by these people, it's just truly incredible if you don't espouse that left-wing ideology.
Right. And the perps are BLM and Antifa, and the Democrat Marxists are behind all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a conservative voice rises to the top, or just rises at all, they'll send in their henchmen, BLM and Antifa, to riot and cause chaos.
Or
that
if
goes
you're
beyond,
the sample,
that goes beyond even this. It goes to what's happening in with Hamas. It's Hamas, BLM, and Antifa that are having all of these violent riots here in the United States of America. Antifa and BLM are driving those as well.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
One big pile of poopy.
Yes. you know, San Francisco State University had forced the mayor of the city of Jerusalem to end an event near Barakat. His event was ended early because of the pro-Palestinian protesters. And I don't recall the chancellor or the of San Francisco State University saying that it is in the context dependent decision for the mayor of Jerusalem to be shouted down and denied his right to speak to the students at San Francisco State University.
Great point. Good observation.
Oh, it's just what we're seeing today is just incredible. Oh, the censorship and we're supposed to have this thing called free speech, but I got to say this one really got me. When we're talking about free speech, Al Gore has resurfaced, and I don't know if you saw this, and I didn't put it in the show notes, but when you talk about free speech, it really gets me with Al Gore, the biggest climate hoaxer that's out there aside from John Kerry. Did you know that Al Gore is making $2 million per month? And here's a guy who is stating that democracy and capitalism need to be reformed. And he is a proponent of banning speech. And he's a proponent of having speech banned on social media platforms. So here's a guy who served as vice president of the United States. He took an oath of office as vice president. He took an oath of office several times as a U.S. senator. And it is to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, such as the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And yet now Gore, who is making $2 million per month with his climate hoax agenda, has stated that at the COP28, the UN Climate Summit, he demanded that voting rules be changed so that a majority of countries, rather than a full consensus of nations, could impose mandates on the United States and oil-producing nations. That means a bunch of third-world countries would have veto power over our entire economy. Fresh off insulting the Saudis and the UAE, $100 million of Gore's money came from Qatar, a foe of both, linked to Hamas, which used his failed leftist cable network, Current TV, as a springboard for its failed terrorist cable network, Al Jazeera America. He decided to also go to war against freedom of speech and the Internet. Now, Al Gore goes on to say, despite inventing the Internet, Gore showed up at a Bloomberg Green event to rant about algorithms. Algorithms are not, despite what some Gore fans, all 12 of them, think, named after him. And it's pretty clear that the elderly, belligerent massage enthusiast was not too clear about what they were either. But in traditional fashion of leftists wanting to ban something by comparing it to Hitler or AR-15s, he went with the assault algorithm analogy. If you have social media that is dominated by algorithms that put people down these rabbit holes that are a bit like picture plants, these algorithms, they are digital equivalents of AR-15s, Gore ranted. They ought to be banned. They really ought to be banned. It's an abuse of the public platform. Now, first of all, who gives a shit what Al Gore says? But second of all, here is yet another left-wing lunatic, and yes, Al Gore is a left-wing lunatic, a hypocrite who is seeking to ban speech in the United States. And because it's on some sort of a social media platform, Al Gore then has the audacity to make the equivalent of speech, the digital equivalent of an AR-15. Really? I mean, this is how desperate these left-wing lunatics truly are. And now that this guy makes $2 million a month, he's like a Bill Gates, where now he is going to tell you and me what to think. And he also does it in a fashion that you could simply dismantle our constitutional republic in order to appease and assist the Marxist movement of basically dismantling our constitutional republic. And this guy was a U.S. senator who took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. And he was a vice president of the United States, reelected, okay, elected and reelected, and took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. I don't know what these people's motives are, and the fact that they now are these wealthy individuals, they now feel it's their duty that they are above everyone else, and they can dictate what speech is acceptable under their guidelines.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of common sense out in Ocala, Florida. Florida House Bill 599, written by Representative Ryan Chamberlain, would ban using pronouns that don't match an employee's assigned gender in certain workplaces. For example, if you were assigned male at birth but identify as a female, under this bill, the state of Florida still considers you a man, and therefore the pronoun he must be used no matter what your preference may be. Mm-hmm. How about that? A little common sense.
Oh, well, that would be the safe
room. I guess. Now, the LGBT community is up in arms. In fact, the Pride, who knew that there was a Pride Chamber of Commerce? I never knew there was such a thing, but I guess there is. People are exhausted by this constant anti-woke agenda. They want us to solve real problems like soaring carbon, blah, 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 Florida State Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith, who's a radical gay man who still is a man, says these things. But I think this is a great thing. This is a little bit of common sense. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a girl, you're a girl. You can't change your DNA. And what it does is, you may think it sounds silly, but it's actually a very important bill because it shuts down potential lawsuits by offended people as for cross-dressers who demand that people accept their cross-dressing and label them however they want to be labeled. And God forbid you label them incorrectly, they're going to file a lawsuit not only against you but whatever business you work in. And it creates an environment where there's chaos at work. And companies are scared to death of getting sued because even the silliest lawsuit, if it doesn't get thrown out right away, one, you got to hire an attorney to fight the frivolous lawsuit, and there's $2,500 right down the toilet up to $5,000 at a minimum. And then, God forbid, some judge honors the lawsuit, then you have to defend it. And a company could be looking at anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 to defend one of these silly pronoun lawsuits, of which there have been many. So this is a little bit of common sense because the business margins of profitability are too small for a small business to be able to handle this type of frivolous lawsuit activity. So kudos to this Florida state representative who has filed this bill, and I hope it passes.
Yeah, we'll see. It could set a trend in the United States. That'll be great. You know, stop this wokeness. I mean, look what it's done with the Washington Commandos. You know,
yeah,
there's fighting to bring back the Redskins name, and now this insanity that has infested America's society under the political correct guidelines, pronouns.
DeSantis, divestment, equity, and inclusion departments at Florida universities. Governor DeSantis has put a stop to the public funding of these DEI, is what they call it, divestment, equity, and inclusion departments. Their money, they're getting lots of money, millions of dollars to operate. Those have been curtailed thanks to Governor DeSantis, who is the greatest governor in the country, in my opinion, for taking the lead on this type of activity. Because he also, the Students for Justice in Palestine, which is a radical, there's an Islamic cultural jihadi group that's on several campuses throughout Florida. He outlawed them. He said that they can't function on Florida campuses anymore. Their charters have been withdrawn. And that's huge. So kudos to Governor DeSantis. Now, get out of the race and support Trump. And that's my other thing I have to say to Governor DeSantis. Just go. Support Trump. Go away while you can.
Get out.
I love him, and I love DeSantis. I wish he wasn't doing this, but he is, and I don't know why. I wrote him an email. I asked him not to do this, but he didn't listen. Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe that.
I asked nicely. Yeah, politely.
Well, you know, kudos to...
I thought my wife doesn't listen to me. My wife doesn't listen to me, so I guess why should Governor DeSantis?
Well, he does have a female press secretary, so... Just so you know. Yeah. So the United States of America has this thing called a foreign terrorist organization. And it's called a designated foreign terrorist organization. And I think Governor DeSantis has done with regards to, let's say, the 10th Amendment with states' rights, as well as other governors should take his heed, is look at this designated terrorist organization list and make the determination on some of these organizations that are being supported. I mean, if there was a Students for Hamas on a college campus in Florida, that organization should be shut down, should be banned. Because on October 8, 1997, the United States government designated Hamas a terrorist organization. On October 8, 1997, the United States government designated Hezbollah as a foreign terrorist organization. On the same date, October 8, 1997, Palestine Liberation Front and Palestine Islamic Jihad both were designated foreign terrorist organizations. So the fact that this college organization has the name of Palestine Islamic Jihad, they should be banned from any college campuses in Florida or any other state in the United States. And unfortunately, these liberal states, these liberal governors and states, don't have the backbone, and because of their being bought out by the Islamic organizations, like the Muslim Brotherhood organizations, they will not protect and defend the United States. There are other organizations that are on the foreign terrorist list, including the Khmer Rouge, the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine. You've got the United Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, Abu Nidal Organization. They were placed on the foreign terrorist list they were delisted as a foreign terrorist organization, Abu Nidal. Al-Qaeda is on the foreign terrorist list as of October 8th, 1999. Ansar al-Islam, March 22, 2004. ISIS, formerly al-Qaeda in Iraq, the Islamic State of Iraq amendment, and it, Media Center and Mock News Agency amendments were put on December 17, 2004. Al-Shabaab, March 18, 2008. And why is that important? Because on September 11, 2012, there was a bunch of Al-Shabaab men out for an evening walk. And as Hillary Rodham Clinton stated under testimony, what difference does it make if there's a bunch of guys out for an evening walk? They were all carrying, you know, they were carrying rocket launchers, and they were carrying what's that Czechoslovakian? Oh my God, I went totally blank on the weapon. It's like the AR-15. It's the what is it called, Al? The gun, the weapon.
Oh, it's the like AK-47.
AK-47. Thank you. Yeah. So you've got these Al-Shabaab terrorist members who are out for an evening walk in Benghazi, carrying AK-47s and rocket launchers, but they were just a bunch of guys out for an evening walk. Thanks, Eric. You know, they are on the foreign terrorist watches. Boko Haram. Now, Boko Haram, their center of influence is Nigeria. The Nigerian government hasn't done anything to eradicate Boko Haram from Nigeria. And on a daily basis, Boko Haram kills Christians. There's a genocide occurring in Nigeria of Christians, and it's at the hands of Boko Haram. Now, the United Nations, the useless nations, nor the Organization of Islamic Cooperation have done their part to stop this genocide against Christians. And why is that important? Because in 2011, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation passed what's called the UN Resolution 1618. It's nothing but a ruse. What it means is it's a means of having non-Muslim nations become or submitting to Islamic nations. And we're gonna read you some quotes by some Hamas leaders as well. But this is very important because one country, our northern neighbor, Canada, has implemented UN Resolution 1618 under the guise of M103. And it's to combat intolerance, negative stereotyping, and stigmatization of, and discriminating, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief, unless you're a Jew. Now, unless you're a Christian in Nigeria, and Boko Haram has murdered, has raped, has imprisoned well over 4,000 people in the last 2 years, 4,000 Christians. They have burned Christian churches in Nigeria. And the Nigerian government has been absent. And the Nigerian government continues to condemn those who speak out against those Nigerians who speak out against Islam. And they'll charge them with apostasy. And at the same time, you have thousands of Christians who are being exterminated by Boko Haram. And yet we hear nothing from the Vatican. And yet we hear nothing from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which passed this bogus resolution that they, the OIC, is demanding that the Western nations adopt as a means of criminalizing any type of discussion that criticizes Islam. Any type of discussion that criticizes Islam, just as M103 adopted in Canada. The Human Rights Council reaffirming the commitment made by all states under the Charter of the United Nations to promote and encourage universal respect for and observance of all human rights and fundamental freedoms without distinction as to inter alia, religion, or belief. Now, why is that statement that paragraph bogus under UN Resolution 1618 that was written by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation? Because in 1969, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation was founded under the United Nations. The founding members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation back in 1969 included Afghanistan, Algeria, Egypt. It included Iran. It included Kuwait, Jordan, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and guess what? Guess what? The Palestinian territory. Palestine, state of. That's how it's recognized by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And yet, since 1948, the Palestinians, including on October 7th, 2023, did not show any type of universal respect for Israel. And they attacked Israel based on being Jewish, their religion. Where is the outrage by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that seeks to impose UN Resolution 1618 on the Western nations in the world, not just in the United States, but in the world? And where is the OIC demanding and fighting back against Boko Haram in Nigeria, which has now bled to other countries such as Niger, where they're killing Christians, they're kidnapping Christian women, they're enslaving and raping Christian women? You know, it's not just Hamas that did it on October 7th, 2023. Boko Haram's been doing this for the last 10 years. And where is the outrage? And yet, we are told that we must submit to Islam. And the Organization of Islamic Cooperation under the United Nations is demanding that the Western nations criminalize speech that criticizes Islam, which, by the way, goes against our U.S. Constitution. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution states that the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. That means our Bill of Rights trumps anything from the United Nations. It trumps anything from the Organization of Islamic Cowards, Cooperation. And yet, the U.N. remains silent as the genocide of Christians continues in Nigeria at the hands of Boko Haram. And yet, the OIC has not demanded that Hamas, a designated terrorist organization by the U.S. government, been in violation of UN Resolution 1618 that was passed in 2011. And the state of Palestine, as it's designated by the OIC, was a founding member, along with Saudi Arabia, along with Iran, along with Kuwait, along with Egypt, with Afghanistan. You see, we the people, we infidels, are being duped. And it goes to the mission of Islam. You know, one of the organizations in the United States, Hamas Care, the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, they started as the Islamic Association of Palestine in the United States. The U.S. government shut them down because they were raising money for terrorist organizations, including Hamas. And the co-founders of CARE are two devout fundamental Muslims from Palestine, Gazans, Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad. And there's a video of Nihad Awad that is now circulating, and thank you, Holger, for putting it out on Twitter, or forwarding it on Twitter, that really tells the true colors of the Council on American Islamic Relations. It shows the true colors of devout fundamental Muslims and what their mission is in the West. Islam is not a race, it's a religion. And yet that narrative has been co-opted by the Muslim Brotherhood, along with what? Islamophobia. You know, if you are involved in any type of discussion and you don't espouse what the Muslim Brotherhood believes that their agenda is, you will be labeled an Islamophobe. It doesn't matter what the position is of the Muslim Brotherhood. It doesn't matter that Hamas Care's co-founder Omar Ahmad stated the following, and I quote, "Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority, and Islam should be the only accepted religion on earth." That's Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of CARE. Now, you notice he's not in Palestine fighting for the Gazans. He's in the United States, and he's fighting to have the United States of America submit, as is Nihad Awad. The Muslim Brotherhood wrote a memorandum. It's called the Explanatory Memorandum. Now, when we first started this network back in 2008, we were quickly labeled as one of those Islamophobes because we were actually reporting on facts. Facts that in 2004, in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia, in an Islamic house, they found a treasure trove of documents. Not in the basement, but in the sub-basement hidden. A treasure trove of documents. And one of those documents was the battle plan, the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood basically is the Ikhwan, the Brotherhood. And what was their plan of action for the West and for the United States? The process settlement is a civilization jihadist process. With all the word means is the Ikhwan, the Brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. God's religion is Islam. Now, I don't know at what point do you not consider this document, this mission statement, to be a treasonous. And yet the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups are allowed to operate within the confines of the United States of America. And our old friend Paul Sutliff wrote a book called Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Moderate Islam. And the importance of that book, there are so many great points. Paul had done a fantastic job, investigative, and he relayed that in his book, Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Moderate Islam. He also lists the Muslim Brotherhood groups active in the United States of America. The Islamic Society of North America, ISNA. You know, ISNA held their 55th annual convention in the United States. Obviously they would because it's the Islamic Society of North America. And one of their guest speakers was the Islamic activist, the extremist Linda Sarsour. I like to call her Linda Sarsour because she is sour. And Linda Sarsour instructed her fellow Muslims, there was over 1,100 in attendance, to not assimilate in America. Now, we reported on that. And somehow, that's Islamophobia. Why would you instruct your fellow Muslims, a woman who was born in New York City, why would she instruct her fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America? Why? Because their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. Use America's freedom of speech and freedom of religion laws to destroy America's freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Why is CARE actively campaigning to have government determine what speech is considered hate speech? If you do not agree with CARE and you call CARE out, why would you be subject to hate speech? You mean to tell me that you can't exercise your right of free speech to challenge an organization that has actively come out calling for the domination of your country? I mean, it's Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of Hamas CARE, stated, "Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant." That sounds like supremacy. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority. Well, that means if you are demanding that the Quran be a higher authority than the U.S. Constitution, you're guilty of treason. You should not be actively be in the United States of America. You should either be locked up for treason, be sent to Gitmo, or be deported along with your entire chain of family. As a matter of fact, your organization, Hamas CARE, should be shut down by the U.S. government for actively espousing these radical anti-American principles. If you are asking, if you are requesting, if you are mandating that the Quran be the highest authority in America, you are mandating it be higher than the United States Constitution. Well, son of a gun, Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution is quite clear. It's the Supremacy Clause. And Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution states the Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Our founders were quite clear. Our founders were brilliant. They understood there would come a time when organizations or man or a group would seek to subvert our constitutional republic. Little did we know, it's the current forms of government. It's a covered executive branch of government in the United States, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood, which is deeply embedded inside of the executive branch of government. That's not my statement. There are over 100 members of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Hamas CARE has helped infiltrate the executive branch of government. And it's why we're seeing these radical statements, these extreme statements coming out of the executive branch of government. We all know that Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this on his own. And that's why surrounding Joe Biden and border czar Kamala Harris is the entire Obama alumni anti-American team. The pro-Islam, anti-American team that surrounds and protects and shields Joe Biden and border czar Kamala Harris. At what point in time do we take the words of Hamas CARE, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant? And now you have Israel has made it a mission, and they seek and they will destroy Hamas CARE. They will destroy Hamas. Yet, it's the top dogs of Hamas, the leaders of Hamas, who are now going on record, such as Hamas official Fathi Hamad, "We shall liberate al-Aqsa Mosque and our cities and villages as a prelude to the establishment of the future Islamic caliphate." Fathi Hamad made a similar remarks November 13, 2013, public address in Gaza. When he was serving as Minister of the Interior, he said, "We shall liberate our Al-Aqsa Mosque and our cities and villages as a prelude to the establishment of the future Islamic caliphate. Therefore, brothers and sisters, We are at the threshold of a global Islamic civilization era. The fuel and spearhead of this era will be Gaza, and the Mujahideen and leaders will be from Gaza, Allah willing. Senior Hamas official Mahmoud Al-Zahr, the Army of Jerusalem will not liberate only Palestine. The whole world will come under an Islamic system with no Zionism, no treacherous Christianity. Now, we are witnessing, and we have witnessed, the destruction by Islam. We have witnessed the savagery of Islam. Sure, they were under the guise of Al-Qaeda. It was under the guise of the Taliban. It was under the guise of ISIS. It's under the guise of Hamas. It's under the guise of Iran. It's under the guise of Hezbollah. For 22 years, we are witnessing the same groups, the same mission statement. We are seeing the same results of Islamic jihad that's occurring around the world. We witnessed it firsthand on September 11th in 2001 when Saudi Arabia funded 19 Muslim men to attack the United States of America, and they killed 3,000 Americans. They did a countless billions of dollars of damage, and now we have even more government control under the guise of national security, and nothing has changed. And along the way, we've seen the extermination of Christians in African countries, including, but not limited to, Nigeria or Niger or Mauritania. We have witnessed on October 7th the genocide by Hamas, who was sponsored by Iran, a theocratic terrorist organization that sponsors terrorism around the world. Shia Iran sponsoring Sunni Hamas, sponsoring Hezbollah to the north in Lebanon, sponsoring a terrorist training camp in South America in the tri-border region. And who knows where those terrorists are going after they pass their training camp, whether it's in the tri-border region in South America or in Yemen. Yes, Yemen, another training and breeding ground for jihadists. How many have been captured at our southern border thanks to Dopey Joe and his open border policy, which has been a threat to national security for the past 1,056 days. In just 1,056 days, Joe Biden and the Obama alumni, the anti-American Obama alumni, have managed to open up our borders and allow for the invasion into the United States of America. And finally, after 1,056 days, there are members of Congress who are now holding spending bills hostage to close our borders, to at least protect our borders. Is it too late? Did the intentional opening of our borders, the damage that was done by Joe Biden, by Border Czar Harris, and by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and his anti-American regime? And what access, not only from Islamic organizations, but how about Chinese spies that have been pouring through our southern borders? Not just our southern borders, now we have a problem at the northern borders that are finally being reported. Why the intentional opening of our borders to allow million, 5 million. All of a sudden in the last 3 weeks, it's changed to 9.5 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens. That's 9.5 million. How about 12 million? How about 15 million? You know, the invasion of the United States was not by accident. When you have these globalists that are inside the executive branch of government, these American, these republic, constitutional republic haters, they have intentionally sought to undermine our constitutional republic. And then they failed their constitutional duty to protect and defend the United States of America. You have Hamas calling for the destruction of Jerusalem, for the destruction of Israel, the destruction of Jews, calling to take them from the river to the sea. And we have college campuses, college presidents, chancellors of universities who can't denounce this type of genocide. The United Nations, the useless nations, the Human Rights Council for the United Nations has not denounced this type of genocide on the part of Hamas. There's been no demands for Hamas to change their charter, to scrap their charter calling for the annihilation of Israel. And we're supposed to take the United Nations serious? And still, while this war is going on, you have the Islamists, whether it be the members of Hamas, who many have fled to other Islamic nations such as Qatar. They're calling for Islamic supremacy around the world. Really? And somehow, we're Islamophobic. I see Eric in the chat room. Here's a guy who was harassed, whose speech was being silenced by Hamas Care, the very people who proclaim to be open, the very people who proclaimed that they wanted to be equal. And he was harassed. His life was threatened. You see, this is how Islam works. You and I may not see this overtly, but we feel it because we are singled out. For what? For trying to make America great? For trying to protect the United States of America? For trying to protect our U.S. Constitution? Why? Because we believe in national security? You know, we don't have anything against Muslims who want to practice their religion, but when that practice demands supremacy, when that practice demands domination, when that practice dictates that the Quran will be the highest authority in America, that's where we should draw the line. We should learn how to protect and defend our nation. Whether it's Islam, whether it's the communist Chinese, whether it's communist Russia, whether it's communist forces within our own government. At what point do we start holding our elected officials accountable? At what point do we hold our bureaucrats accountable for their radical anti-American actions? It's still incomprehensible how 8 members of the United States House of Representatives couldn't vote to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, who took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. And he failed miserably. He failed 1,056 days ago. And we wonder why 10 million, 12 million, 15 million unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens have poured through our borders. How jihadists who want nothing more than to do harm to the United States of America have poured through our southern borders. Yes, they caught 4,000 over the last 2 months. how many more were able to penetrate our borders and continue to penetrate our borders? All because of an open border policy intentionally put forth by Joe Biden, Border Czar Harris, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, and his anti-American ally who are appointed to the executive government. You have Islamic organizations like Hamas, like Hezbollah, Boko Haram, are all designated foreign terrorist organizations. And yet you have members of Congress who support Hamas, who excuse Hamas's actions, killing Jews on October 7th, 2023, raping Jewish women, imprisoning children, beating women, slicing their hamstrings so they can't get away, enslaving them. And Israel doesn't have a right to defend itself because, in the words of Nihad Awad, the co-founder of CARE, Israel occupies land. No, Israel is living in land that they've occupied for thousands of years before Islam was created in 623 AD. You see, that's a fact. That's a fact. There was no Palestine in 623 AD, in 923 AD, in 1023 AD. There was still no Palestine in 1420 AD. The Jewish people occupied that land as they did Egypt. At what point in time do we defend Israel, and do we come out and we forcefully denounce these violent protests, these pro-Palestinian violent protests? It seems like any time the left wing gets involved in some sort of protest, it becomes violent. A pro-Palestinian is a pro-Hamas protest. Hamas started this war, and it wasn't just started on October 7th. They ramped it up on October 7th, 2023. Civilization Jihad. Paul Sutliff. Hamas was declared a terrorist entity under Bill Clinton. This has not changed. So in 2002, when Campus Watch organized a listing of professors who support suicide bombings and militant Islam, several others wanted to be included as agreeing with Hamas and sent their declaration of unity with Hamas to Campus Watch. The list can be found in Appendix A. A more recent article was written by the American thinker by Cinnamon Stillwell, which named American professors and their pro-Hamas statements during and after the 2014 war. In the spring of 2014, Hamas began a war by kidnapping three yeshiva teens, then releasing a barrage of thousands of missiles upon Israel. That's 2014. Hamas has been firing rockets and missiles at Israel before 2023, before 2020. They used suicide bombers to blow up buses of innocent Jewish people, young people on buses, going to school, going to market, going to see their families. You know, where's the pulling of the heartstring when these animals, these savages, decide to board a bus, yell Allah Akbar, and blow the entire bus up and kill everybody aboard? Or walk into an ice cream store where a grandmother and a grandson are eating ice cream. Innocent Jewish grandmother and grandson, only to have a savage walk in and kill everybody inside the restaurant yelling the battle cry, Allah Akbar. Where's the outrage? This didn't just happen on October 7, 2023. You know, I would say the state of Israel has been quite patient and has showed great restraint against Hamas. Just read you about 2014. It goes back to 2009. It goes back to 2006. It goes back to the 1967 war, 1971 war. And Israel's had enough now. And Hamas is doubling down. And all of their supporters, including those with Hamas care, are doubling down about supremacy and domination. And all I'm going to say is, I'm going to end with, God bless Israel. God bless Benjamin Netanyahu. And I hope he doesn't listen to the anti-Israel Biden-Harris-Obama regime, and he continues his mission of wiping out Israel. I'm sorry, wiping out Hamas. Because the Jewish people, all they want to do is live in peace. They've been productive. They've been innovative. And all they want to do is live in peace. And you want to talk about harassment? You want to talk about the violation of UN Resolution 1618, which Palestine, the state of, is a member, a founding member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And they have violated each and every paragraph, each and every word inside of UN Resolution 1618. Strongly deploring all acts of violence against persons on the basis of their religion or belief. It's exactly what Hamas has done. Concerned about actions that willfully exploit tensions or targeting individuals on the basis of their religion or belief. That's in UN Resolution 1618 that was passed by all 57 Islamic states, including the Palestinian territory. And each and every day, Hamas, the Palestinians, willfully exploit tensions and target individuals based on their religion or belief being Jewish. Recognizing the valuable contributions of people of all religions or beliefs to humanity and the contributions that dialogue among religious groups can make towards an improved awareness and understanding of the common values shared by all humankind. Well, I would simply say Hamas is inhuman. They don't appreciate humankind. As with ISIS, as with fundamental Islam, as with Boko Haram, as with Al-Shabaab, as with the Haqqani Network, the word of Allah runs supreme. You see, Allah's word is what drives them. Quran 9:5, when the sacred months have passed, kill the polytheists wherever you find them and capture them and besiege them and lie wait for them at every ambush. I would say October 7th was exactly what we infidels witnessed against the Jews, against Israel. Chapter 9, verse 29. Fight those who do not believe in God. Remember, they're referring to Allah as their God. Nor in the last day, nor forbid what God and his messenger have forbidden, nor abide by the religion of truth from among those who receive the scripture until they pay the due tax willingly or unwillingly. Chapter 4, verse 71. Are you believe? Take your precautions and mobilize in separate groups or mobilize all together. Yes, they mobilized all together. The Palestinians mobilized all together on October 7, 2023 and attacked Israel. Chapter 4, verse 84. Go to war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens in any but yourself and provoke the believers. And it's exactly what Nihad Awad, the co-founder of CARE, is doing in the United States of America, hiding behind the First Amendment freedom of speech And he's provoking his believers, not just in the Palestinian territory, in the West Bank, but all of Islam. It's what Iran does, referring to America as the great Satan, the big Satan, and referring to Israel as the little Satan. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Islamic law, Undat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler, page 599. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. And it's codified by Quran, chapter 2, verse 216. Fighting is ordained for you, even though you dislike it. But it may be that you dislike something while it's good for you. And it may be that you like something while it's bad for you. God knows, and you do not know. Fighting is prescribed, ordained for you. Fighting is prescribed for you. That's exactly the mentality used to recruit those to kill Jews and kill infidels. Fighting is prescribed for you. Fighting is ordained for you. And lastly, chapter 4, verse 89. They would love to see you disbelieve, just as they disbelieve, so you would become equal. So do not befriend any of them unless they immigrate in the way of God. That would be Allah. If they turn away, seize them and execute them wherever you find them. And do not take them among them allies or supporters. So Muslims don't take Jews and polytheists as friends or allies. They're enemies. Execute them. This is the word of Allah. And we wonder what is the motivation? What would motivate Hamas and Palestinians to want to kill Jews, to want to kill infidels, to kill Christians in Nigeria? What would motivate them? It's called the word of Allah, the Quran. It's the mission statement. It's the guidebook. You know, nothing since 623 AD has changed in the Quran. Nothing. Since the day it was transcribed by Islamic leaders, nothing has changed. So to sit here in the West and say, I don't understand what the motivation could be. Really? Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. The Hadith, the word of Muhammad. Oh, and by the way, folks, since we're in the Christmas season, and since we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and since you're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, here are three verses from the Quran, which is the word of Allah, which confirms Islam does not recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So don't be misled by the propaganda and the hyperbole of, say, Christine Amanpour, who wants you to tug at your heartstrings. Oh, the children of Hamas, Palestine, will not be celebrating Christmas. Well, they don't celebrate Christmas because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Quran chapter 17, verse 111. The praise be to Allah who has not taken a son, and it was not for him to have a partner in the kingdom, and it was not for him to have a friend from the abased, and magnify him magnificently. Chapter 23, verse 91. Allah has not taken some son, and there was not any other god with him, or else each god would go with what he created, and perhaps some of them will be against others. You see, that's the misnomer by Islam, and it's the slam against Catholicism. We don't have three gods. We have a trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We don't have three gods. But you see, this is what the word of Allah wants to make a separation from all other religions. Chapter 25, verse 2. He who has the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and he did not take a son. And it was not for him to have a partner in the kingdom, and he created everything, so he determined it, determining. Folks, there is no belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in Islam. And it is dictated in writing in the Quran. It's absolutely baffling to me why Pope Francis has made the constellations that he's made. Knowing a scholar of religion, knowing that Islam does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In the Quran, Jesus Christ is referred to as Isa, the son of Mary. And it's not believed to be and Jesus is not believed to be the Son of God. As a matter of fact, Muhammad is elevated higher than Jesus Christ, and Muhammad is professed to be the perfect man. I mean, 67 missions of war that he led, and Jesus led zero missions of war. So, whatever you are thinking, just understand that, yes, there is a distinct difference between Islam and Christianity, Islam and Judaism. Muhammad tried to take portions of those religions, being an illiterate that he was, and tried to do something different under the creation of Islam in 623 AD. But when you have 2 billion or 1 billion Muslims around the world who follow Islam, who believe in Islam, who believe in the Word of God, and the Word of Allah has not changed since the Quran was released, I believe, what was it, 670 AD or 723 AD, it has not changed. And the belief is that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. So we have a distinct difference, folks. And the mission statement of Islam is quite clear. It's domination and supremacy. Not one of the 57 Islamic states has condemned their fellow Islamic state, Palestine, the state of. Except they excuse. They excuse the actions because it's proscribed in the Quran. And basically, Hamas was being good Muslims. The Palestinians are being good Muslims. And the belief system is that Israel is occupying that land. Well, isn't it kind of ironic that Israel has been in that location 3,500 years prior to the creation of Islam in 623 AD? Why don't we just go back to the basic fundamentals and the facts? Al, I'll tell you, after reading the words of the Hamas leadership and their continued mission of domination, not only in Israel, of the land in Israel, but of the world itself, once again, we're vindicated. Once again, Robert Spencer's vindicated. You know, once again, you know, David. I just lost his name.
Wood.
David Wood is vindicated. And it's truly amazing. You know, this war that was started by Hamas absolutely revealed much, didn't it?
Well, if you look at the second sentence in the Hamas charter, it states Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it just as it obliterated others before it. Like you said, this is all about religion. If you go to Article 1 of the same document, this is the Hamas Covenant of 1988 is the equivalent of our Constitution. And it defines exactly who Hamas is. It's the Islamic Resistance Movement. Article 1 states the Islamic Resistance Movement, the movement's program is Islam. From it, draws its ideas, ways of thinking, and understanding of the universe, life, and man. It resorts to it for judgment and all its conduct, and it is inspired by it for guidance of its steps. The Islamic Resistance Movement relation with the Muslim Brotherhood group, so they're all connected. Hamas, ISIS, all of the 200 groups that were in the group of Islamic terrorist organizations, the foreign terrorist organization list, they all dip from the same well, and that's Islam. Islam is Islam, and that's the way that it is. So Israel going after Hamas is just, it's just one part of it, and once Hamas is gone, there's going to be another one there. It's the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They switch names like a tiger switches its stripes. And that's just the nature of the enemy that we're dealing with. And as it's there, it is here in America and other groups that aren't necessarily, that are cultural jihadis. So this is all about jihad. And they have like-minded allies in Antifa, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the Democrat Marxists. You combine those three, and those are the shock troops here on the ground that are disrupting universities, businesses, and sanctuary cities, and cities all across this country with these Hamas jihadi protests and support rallies. It's all on display.
Yes, it is. And they condemn the colonialists, the Zionists, you know, and it's more of the same type of talk and speech, the hate speech that they're involved in. And yet it's not considered hate speech. Palestine. Okay, the land of Palestine, in number two. Palestine extends from the River Jordan in the east to the Mediterranean in the west, from Ras el Nakhwa in the north and to Rush in the south is an integral territory unit. It is the land at the home of the Palestinian people. Now, isn't it funny that the charter is from the river to the sea? God. Oh, I'll tell you, the UN has not done a damn thing to call for the termination of Hamas. They are still, you've got Turkey with Erdogan, who still looks up to and sympathizes with Hamas. You've got Qatar harboring Hamas terrorists. Including those Hamas terrorists who are worth, what did you say, $3 billion, $4 billion, and $3 billion respectively, or $4 billion, $4 billion, $3 billion respectively?
Either way, they're worth quite a bit of money. Stolen.
Yeah.
Stolen from the people.
And now you have Palestinian women of Palestine, who are speaking out as well. They're speaking out because the aid that's being sent to Palestine is being interrupted by Hamas and stolen by Hamas and put down in tunnels, taken down into tunnels. And the people of Palestine, who all these protests are pro-Palestinian, the people of Palestine are not being given their aid by their own people.
Yeah. And the word Palestine, it's not even Arab or Middle Eastern in its origin. It dates back 1,900 years, and it's derived from the people that weren't even native to the region, the Greek Philistines, who disappeared 600 years before Christ. They lived in what is now the Gaza Strip in Israel. So, in short, for most of recorded history, there were never any Palestinians until Yasser Arafat and the PLO in 1964 was invented. for the political purpose of destroying sovereign and legally the legally mandated Jewish state of Israel. So there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. They're a made-up group. And if you go back in history at that in that region of Israel, in biblical times, Jewish people had settled there in 17th through the 6th before the Common Era. And then you had the Roman rule, Byzantine rule, Arab rule from 636 to 1099, Christian rule after that when the Crusades took place. Then the Ottoman Empire took it over. British took it over from the Ottomans in 1917. The British held on to what is now Israel until 1948, and then the State of Israel was born in 1948. So nowhere in there are there such things as Palestinians. And in fact, in 1970, Jordan kicked the Palestinians out. It took a year. It was a year-long war to kick the Palestinians out of Jordan. So actually, they were Jordanians. And when the King of Jordan kicked them out in a bloody coup, because the Palestinians, Yasser Arafat and the PLO, they tried to take over Jordan from the King of Jordan. So they're bad neighbors everywhere they go. People ask themselves, well, why in the world isn't Egypt or Jordan taking all of these refugees from Gaza? Because nobody, no country in the Arab world will take them. Nobody wants them because they're bad neighbors, they're bad people, and this is their fellow Arabs. So you're talking about, say what you will about Israel, but when you're condemned by your own fellow Muslims, that's pretty bad.
It is bad. And you know something? Here we are, the world is now, the West is now being guilted into taking Palestinian refugees, right, from Palestine, from Gaza. You've got Dopey Joe talking about bringing 1 million fundamentalists to the United States. And I'm looking at the list of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and I see that Afghanistan, there's plenty of room in Afghanistan, and they have the same ideology. Egypt, they've rejected. Indonesia would be another place. It's very tropical. Iran. Iran started this whole war. They instigated it. They exercised Quran chapter 484, you know, go to war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on anybody but yourself, and provoke the believers. So why isn't Iran taking the 1 million Gazan refugees? They are an Islamic nation. They have plenty of land. Jordan, but as you said, Jordan kicked out the Palestinians. You have Kuwait. You have Lebanon, which is also funded by Iran. Morocco. And then you have the home of Islam. I mean, if wouldn't it be incumbent upon a nation that home and it would be incumbent upon that nation to do all they can to help their Muslim brothers and sisters, especially in a time of need. And what better place than the home of Islam, Mecca? What better country, a rich country, a wealthy country, who has over $650 billion in a public fund? They can pay money to buy the infidel, but they can't support their Muslim brothers and sisters, their fellow members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, their fellow brother in the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And Saudi Arabia is turning their backs on their fellow Muslims. So the mission statement that was put forth by Omar Ahmad, Islam's not in America to be equal but to become dominant, And the call by another prominent Palestinian radical in the United States, Linda Sarsour, instructing her Muslim brothers and sisters not to assimilate in America, is just another call for jihad. It's another call to invade Western nations so that Islam becomes a dominant source in those Western nations, as is occurring in the United States, as happening in France. How about in Ireland? Huh? How about what's going on in Ireland? It's now provoked Conor McGregor, the Ultimate Fighter champion, okay, to come out of fighting and run for president of Ireland because of the immigration, the poor immigration policies, and the fact that he's watching his country go right down the tubes with Islamic Jihad attacks that are occurring on a daily basis, stabbing children and Muslim refugees, nothing indigenous to Ireland. You know, all of these 57 Islamic states have absolutely abandoned their fellow Muslims. They've abandoned their Muslim migrants. And they've made it a point, and they have absolutely supported the invasion of Western nations. And this issue with the Palestinian migrants, they should not come to the United States of America. Don't wish them ill, but it's incumbent upon the 57 Islamic nations to step up and to help their Muslim brothers and sisters.
Well, these Palestinian immigrants, the Palestinian supporters at these Ivy League schools and all the protesters here in the United States that carry the Palestinian flag, wear the keffiyeh, and praise Hamas. The last three sentences of the Hamas covenant tell you everything that you need to know. And it says the Islamic resistant movement, Hamas, adopts Islam as its way of life. Islam is its creed and religion. Whoever takes Islam as his way of life, be it an organization, a grouping, a country, or any other body, the Hamas considers itself as their soldiers and nothing more. We ask Allah to show us the right course, to make us an example to others, and to judge between us and our people with truth. O Lord, do you judge between us and our nation with truth? For thou art the best judge. That's Al-Araf, Quran, verse 89. The last of our prayers will be praise to Allah, the master of the universe. This is Hamas. This is the people that are protesting here, like these women at these Ivy Leagues. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. All they see is they see BLM and Antifa, and that's who they're supporting, and they're supporting exactly what I just read here. And they do not have any respect for America. They don't have any respect for anyone who is not a follower of Islam. And you are worthy of death, just like what happened on October 7th to the Israelis. That is who Hamas is. They are violent Islamic jihadis, and Israel is taking care of business. And at least they haven't broken down and submitted to these people's cries for ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. Israel said no, and now they're continuing to fight, and they've almost got this thing won.
Yeah, but Al, whenever Israel agreed to a ceasefire, it was Hamas, it was the Palestinian Hamas who violated that ceasefire and was firing rockets and missiles into Israel. And no one talks about that, right? They all condemn. They're so quick to condemn Israel, and yet it was Hamas Palestinians who absolutely breached any type of ceasefire efforts.
Yep. And all you people that have coexistence stickers on your car, it's time to scratch out the symbol for Islam, because Israel tried to coexist with Hamas when they disengaged from the Gaza Strip in 2005 and gave Hamas full control of that 25-square-mile area for their own to do with as they wish, to govern as they saw fit. And what Israel got for their experiment in coexistence was the largest 25-mile terrorist command and control center that the world has ever seen. 25 square miles and 350 kilometers of underground tunnels. So Israel, this policy of coexistence failed miserably and spectacularly on October 7th. So let this be a lesson to you. Israel failed. They tried to coexist. It didn't work. So take your coexistence stickers off your car, and with Islam, it fails every single time for the last 1,400 years.
I got to read what the Alaskan put in the chat room. I bet if the world started to send the Palestinians to Islamic countries, it would start a real world war between the West and Islam. And he's so right. He is absolutely right. You know, we would see probably an internal war inside of Islam. But certainly, you know, Pakistan, Niger, Morocco, Mali, Kuwait, Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, they're not going to take Tunisia, Turkey. You know, all the lip service that's given by Erdogan, the president of Turkey, he hasn't stepped up to take any of his Islamic refugees. He's out there now killing Kurds once again.
And that's all that has to be said. Whenever this topic comes up, you go, well, none of the other Arab countries want them. Why is that? And then just shut up and let them answer, because they have no answer.
They don't.
There'll be nothing. You just won the argument with one sentence. Whenever you're talking about this over Christmas with your liberal family members who are so upset with the war and they hate on Israel, you just say, oh, uncle or father or your niece or your nephew, you go, well, explain to me why no other Arab country anywhere in the world wants all of these Palestinian refugees. And they won't be able to respond. And that'll be the end of the argument.
Pass the gravy.
You can do it without causing a scene. Yeah. Other than that, it was a great play, Mrs. Lincoln. Yeah.
Can I have another slice of turkey, please? White meat. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Tonight at 8:15, there's going to be a SpaceX Falcon Heavy liftoff tonight. They got the window at 8:14, so that's going to be pretty exciting. This will be right up there with one of the, I think, the 64th or 5th launch this year. So kudos to Elon Musk.
Ooh.
And if you're an astronomy buff, between December 13th and 14th is going to be one of the largest meteor showers of the year. And it's called the GEMIN meteor shower. And it'll peak at its peak. It'll be late Wednesday night. So if you think about it, take a look up in the sky on Wednesday night and see a meteor shower. So that's it for space news.
Oh, Dopey Joe said, I showered with my daughter, but I never showered with meteor.
Boom. So sick. He should. I tell you, when that came out, the media squashed it. That was some very disturbing. Yeah. That was in Joe Biden's niece's diary.
Yes. Yep. And you could bet that if they were going after Trump, they would absolutely have excoriated. They would have called in each and every expert, and they would have absolutely demanded that he resign. Really quick, iGuy sent me a copy of The Week. The Week is a periodical. It comes out weekly, and it's a bunch of Trump haters. And they are furthering the false narrative, the propaganda that Trump will be a dictator. That seems to be what the left wing now has adopted as their campaign strategy to defeat Trump and to sway public opinion is to call Trump a dictator. The real dictator is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now. It's Dopey Joe. He is heartless, he's soulless, and he's an empty man, which makes it a perfect dictator. You put something in front of him and let him read it, and then he proclaims that he has amnesia. So we are witnessing the dismantling of our constitutional republic, and the one that can save it, I think, is going to be Trump. And certainly the left wing is becoming very, very nervous that we, the people, are going to step up to the plate and we're going to reject all this nonsense that we've been witnessing, this miscarriage
right,
of
and all
justice.
Trump said, and all Trump said is that the first thing he'll do as this dictator is to close the border and drill, baby, drill for oil. That's day one.
If that's what he says day one, that's what should be done. America was energy independent 1,056 days ago, and we are no longer, thanks to the globalization, the radical anti-American, anti-free enterprise globalist policies of Joe Biden, Borders R. Harris, and Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama and his anti-American handlers. Hey, Wednesday evening, right here on Global Patriot Radio, check out the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank and his posse will be talking college football, I'm sure, Heisman Trophy, and any other sports that pops up. Saturday, Osama Dakduk at the Straight Way of Grace Ministry with the beautiful Christy, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Minister Dakduk. He and Christy do an absolute awesome job with regards to educating about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Blog Talk Radio, check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Friday afternoons with her great sidekick author, Curtis Bennett, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want a break from politics and great apolitical show is Simone Nicole, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. I said Eastern Time. Although Joshua is not going to have a show this week, mark your calendars for next Wednesday, the Simone Nicole Show. Also, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, a great American, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Audrey's show and her great co-host, Mr. P. Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, Tuesday evenings on Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Joe is running for the State House in North Carolina, so go get him, Joe. Al, any parting shots before you leave?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. We'll see you on Monday.
I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. I read it every day. Check out his blogspot. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you, Duck. Hank Jones, Poly Sports, the Alaskan Boyd. We had Eric from Iowa in the house earlier. We also had Boyd, the Alaskan. We got Joe Gibson. So, folks, Sue from New Mexico, you all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And it's the holiday season. Please be careful with your driving and shopping. You all be safe out there. God bless you. Ciao for now.
Yes, it was my way.
Thanks for letting me go on tonight. I couldn't stop.
That was a good rant.
There's just so many parallels between, you know, what we have been working on for the last 15 years and how we've been demonized, and now once again we're vindicated, as are, you know, others who have been calling, you know, to question what's been going on, including David Wood, including Robert Spencer and Jamie Glassoff and Paul Sutliff and Global mm-hmm. Patriot Radio. I mean, we've all been vindicated.
Sad but true.
It's not
Islam
one.
Islam fails to fail to hold true.
Right?
Right.
And not one of the 57 Islamic states have stepped up to take their fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. Not even Saudi Arabia has done so.
No, it's Sunni to Sunni.
Sunni to Sunni. The home of Islam.
Yeah. That's the question.
You got to put it in perspective. You have to put it in perspective, and people have to start understanding this. Instead of the, you know, the, all of this hyperbole that we're, you know, we have to understand it. Oh, the poor Palestinians. Excuse me. They have voted for Hamas to be their governance. And over the last 16 years, where are members of Hamas coming from? They're not coming from Iran. They're coming from within. They're cultivated. They're believers of Islam.
Yep. And their allies are the Marxists, and that's what people aren't tying together is the Antifa BLM Marxist Democrat Union.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only reason that these Palestinian rallies have been going on with such frequency, because if you look at them and how violent they are, it's just an Antifa rally or a BLM rally that we saw when George Floyd was arrested.
You're right.
It's got the same tactics, the same everything. The only difference is they're flying Palestinian flags and wearing keffiyehs to cover up their face.
And you know,
other than that, everything is the same.
And they share the same sentiment, and that's the dismantling and dismembering of our constitutional republic. That's their, you know, there's one difference, though. Islam wants to incorporate Islam. They want to incorporate their way, their Sharia, as the only way of governing. Now,
right.
The stupid people of Antifa, they just want to oust, you know, the democracy and the republic, you know, movement. They have no idea what they're aligning with. They really don't, do they?
I think they do.
You think so?
But I don't think they care. Yeah, I don't think they care. They know that they have an ally for whatever reason. And that's all that they care about. They have an ally, period.
Well, the thing is,
this ally up.
But we learned what's going. We learned from I don't know, Hamtramck, Michigan. You know, the same people had aligned with Islam, and they did. They helped do the dirty work. Oh, you know, this is equal rights and coexist, and we all multiculturalism. And as soon as Islam became the dominant in Hamtramck, Michigan. What was the first? One of the first things the city council did? You can't fly that rainbow flag, that symbols of homosexuality in Hamtramck, Michigan, and we're not going to fly it downtown in Unity. Well, wait a minute. What about Unity?
Yep. Yeah, they're very upset. Wait, we're your friends. We helped you get into office.
Yeah.
And you're doing this. You betray us. It's kind of like that Aesop fable about the scorpion. What's the animal that always back? The scorpion and the frog.
The weasel? Oh, the frog.
Whatever it is. I think it's the frog. And the frog lets the scorpion hop on its back to go across the river. And the frog says, well, if you kill me or you sting me and we both die, we'll both drown, so it's not in your interest to kill me. So, sure, I'll give you a lift, hop on my back, and we'll go across, I'll take you across the river. So they go on their merry way, they get halfway across, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog goes, why did you do this? Now we're both going to die. And the scorpion says to the frog, it's my nature.
Ooh.
And they both die.
Ooh.
One of my favorite Aesop fables. It's a fable, that Aesop guy.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
Mm-hmm. It's my nature. Nothing personal, just business.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing personal. It's just business. Right. Oh. All right.
Well, it looks like the flight was, the launch was scrubbed for tonight.
Oh, it was, huh?
hopefully go for tomorrow.
Okay. Weather, or was it, did they say?
No idea. No idea.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that would have been nice.
Yeah, well, they're going to be launching the X-37B military space plane, whatever that is. So it's some kind of a secretive, like a shuttle. It looks like kind of like a smaller version of the space shuttle.
Okay.
So
interesting. I was going to check out the NASA channel and see, you know.
Oh, it's great. You ever watch those, the launches?
Oh, yes. I was looking for the NASA channel, to see if they were going to show it on that. I'm not sure if they were going to show the launch at all, but they have something else on there, so I wasn't sure if that was the reason why.
I don't know. When they show you the camera angle, when the boosters are coming back down to Earth and then landing on that little barge from the middle of space, they land on this little barge the size of tiny, small boat. That is so amazing.
God. And Elon Musk is the one that put that together. Can you imagine that? This guy had the vision that, and NASA couldn't do it. Man.
Yeah, NASA failed completely. And it costed a ton of taxpayer money. And yet this Elon Musk can do all these rockets, Tesla cars, bought Twitter. How in the world can somebody, I don't know how you can divide your time to be able to do all of these, run all these companies, and you just must be brilliant. That's all there is to it.
Well, and have a good team around them as well.
I tell you, that would make for an interesting vice presidential choice.
Yeah, unfortunately, he couldn't be chosen as vice president because he's not a naturalized citizen.
Now that would apply to VP as well. I thought it only applied
yes.
to the president.
No, I think it also applies to the VP as well. I'll check that, but I'm almost positive.
Sounds like it should. But he would be the first, the second African American VP if that was to happen.
And he could be the second African as president. So,
what do you think of their floating? What the hell's his name? Tucker Carlson.
For what?
For VP. Did you hear that?
No.
Tucker Carlson's name—he's getting thrown around as a VP choice for Biden. Not Biden. I'm sorry. For Trump.
For Trump.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, doesn't throw me.
No, me either. But my only reason for not liking that is because Tucker Carlson, when he had his show, he said he was going to release all of the footage that was given to him for J6, and the son of a bitch didn't do it, and he lied.
No, well, you know what? I understood that it was Fox who nixed it and then fired him. And
who cares?
Fox holds that. Fox holds the rights to those J6 tapes. So he didn't have the luxury of releasing those J6 tapes. I think that the upper echelon of Fox absolutely caved to the DNC. And the establishment, and decided that they were not going to release that, and they basically got rid of the one voice that was going to do it, and that was Carlson.
Well, I could see them owning Carlson and not telling him if he does this they'll fire him, but I can't see them owning his rights to those video files. So that's his property.
Yeah, but as an employee, though, of Fox, you know,
right,
Fox
but he got fired.
Well, yeah, but they were in the possession of Fox at that time.
Maybe. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but
that's what I read, that was the issue, and once he got a hold of them and he went through some 40,000 hours, he and his staff went through 40,000 hours, he was released. Boom. And he cannot take those tapes with him.
See, I can't see him taking possession of that, of the tapes, knowing that Fox is going to have control of that property.
Yeah, but if you thought your job was secure, and you were not, you know, you thought you were going to be like a, you know, Maria, or Jesse Waters, you figured your job was secure, and then all of a sudden you're blindsided and say, well, guess what? You're fired. Your last day is today, you know, and you're escorted out. You're not taking anything with you.
Maybe. Who knows?
You know, I'm thinking that there's a lot more to that story, and I could see where Fox made sure that those tapes were not, because why wouldn't then they give it to Jesse Waters to release or to Greg Gutfeld? They didn't do anything with it. They now retain those tapes and they've done nothing with them.
That's true. Don't know. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think my brain is overheating right now.
Well, all right. Well, you have a good week.
Thank you. You as well. You as well.
I will.
I'm going to try to play some golf this week, I hope.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hit them straight and not too often.
That's a great goal. That is a great goal. I will try that. You too. You play well.
I will. Yeah, my handicap went down to an 11.
Ooh,
9.9,
nice.
9.9. Yeah, it went from a 15, 12, 11, all within 1 week.
Freaking, whoa. You must have had some low rounds in there, buddy.
Yeah, a couple of low 80s, which was good.
Nice.
And, yeah, so.
Hot damn. That's really good.
How about you? How'd you hit him last week?
I hit him. I couldn't score. I shot 71, 72, and that, you know, I had just a poor start in the front and shot 37. I shot two over on the front, and then I shot one under on the back, you know, and it seems like the back, I start get going. I don't get going until the back or – and then putts. So I got a new putter, so we'll see how that putter works. And I like the feel of it so far, and haven't tried it yet in a regular round, but I think it's my setup and my aim were off, and I'm trying a different style putter, so we'll see how that
feels.
What
putter did you get?
I got the Scotty Cameron Phantom.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've been out to the putting green and to test the putter, and I like the feel of the putter off the face. I really do. It's got a nice feel, a different feel. It's got a different look, and it reminds me more of the two ball putter, which I like, but I don't have a stroke for that for a mallet putter. But yeah, it's nice. So we'll see.
Well, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck this week, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. You have a good one. Everybody out there, be safe, and thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.